The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, January 13th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, the folks at Archer Financial Services in Chicago will discuss the energy markets. In agricultural news, outgoing USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the final country of origin label rule is a compromise, but many in the beef and pork industries say the measure is less than perfect. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll have the latest on agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City March wheat, $5.97 up to May, $6.08 and a quarter up to at the Board of Trade March wheat, $5.70 and three quarters up one, May, $5.83 and a half up one, July, $5.95 and a quarter up one and a quarter. March corn, $3.62 and a half down 18 and a quarter, May, $3.73 and a quarter down 18, July, $3.83 and a half down 18, September, $3.93 and a half down 17 and three quarters, December, $4.07 down 17 and a quarter. February crude oil at $37.70 up 11 cents to February ethanol, $1.58 and two tenths down 3 tenths. February RBOB at $1.14 and eight tenths down 6 and five tenths. January beans at $9.69 and a half up 15 and a half. March, $9.71 and a half up 5 and a half. May, $9.80 and three quarters up 5 and a quarter. July, $9.91 up 4 and three quarters. November, $9.62 and a half down a half on the day. January soybean meal, $2.96.30 down 20. January soybean oil, $34.60 up 42. February live cattle, $84.07 and a half up 117 and a half. January feeders at $96.35 up 115. And February lean hogs at $61.45. down 2.5 on the day. And those are Tuesday's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Let's take a look at the outside markets, a more extended look. February crude, the settlement, $37.78 up 19. March, settlement there, $44.77 up 112. February ethanol, $1.58 and two was the settlement, and it was down 3 tenths. The March was down 4 and 3 tenths at $1.57.2. February natural gas at $5.19 and six. Was down 34 and 6. The March contract, 517 and 4 tenths, down 34 and 3 tenths. February RBOB, 115 and make it 115 and 2 tenths, and it was up 6 and 9 tenths. February heating oil, 152 and 3 tenths, up 5 and 1 tenth. February propane at 74 and 2 tenths, and it was up 1. In the silver contracts, the March at 10.68 down 7 cents. And then in the gold contracts, the February contract at 8.2070, it was off 30 cents on the day. A winter storm warning is in effect for north, central, and northeastern Indiana until 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight. Otherwise, tonight in the south, partly cloudy in northwestern Illinois, cloudy with snow, heavy at times. In the remainder of northern Illinois and central Illinois and northern Indiana, becoming cloudy with snow arriving after midnight. Lows ranging from 10 below zero in northwestern Illinois to around 20 in southwestern Indiana. Make that Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, turning sharply colder with areas of snow heaviest in the north and highs ranging from around 10 in northwestern Illinois to around 35 in the far south. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne. Well, where is Wayne? Just a second here.
There, are you there now?
There you are, Wayne.
Hey, I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. Well, good afternoon, Dave, and we're glad that we're both on the air now.
It was a day, Wayne, of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the soybeans, I guess, on that purchase overnight from China, as well as concerns about South America.
Well, that's 100% right, Dave. I mean, we did see the Chinese come back in, make a sizable purchase again on the onslaught down move from yesterday, willing to come back in here and stabilize the market. The wheat market, was fairly strong this morning, but that just didn't have a good feel to it, and it looked like a bubble up there, and the bubble did pop. So, when that the corn, of course, then pulled that back on down too, but the corn market just not real happy. With nearly 1.8 billion bushel carryout, the corn market doesn't feel it does to fight as much to hang on to acres this spring. So that's one of the things that we're looking at here. There was not quite the battle for acres that we talked about for so many months out there.
So the bad was the wheat market coming off some significant gains to finish almost even, and then the corn market down 18 on follow-through after yesterday's limit down move. And it went down so easily, Wayne, especially at the end of the session.
The end of the session, we saw some added weakness, the lows of the day being made during that time frame, and we just didn't see the buyers coming in that we'd hoped we'd see in there today, and that's one of the problems. You have to have somebody step up to the plate. They thought there might be some people buying some what they considered value or whatever in here, but it looks like they're going to try to take us down to that two-thirds retracement level, down around the 352 or so in the March corn, Dave.
So if that be the case, then why would anybody come and buy this market?
Well, like I say, somewhere down in there, they're going to start finding they're talking about some value. Just because everything isn't totally rosy, remember, it does look darkest when we get towards the bottom.
So are you thinking that retracement level that you mentioned is one that is likely to hold?
Well, I think more so that I think we might see beans seem to stabilize and maybe move up and maybe hold or pull the corn from going lower. I don't know that the strength is in the corn. I think the strength is still in the beans. As we look at the screen today, the green is all by the beans. It's been there all day long. And if the beans stabilize and move up a little bit, that's going to have a stabilizing effect towards the corn after the big move it's had down.
Certainly energy is not helping corn's cause at all. As we looked at the trade today in crude oil, we see the February contract did manage some minor gains today, but it's significantly undervalued to the March-February going off the board pretty soon, I would imagine. Is the March going to also drift down another $4, $5, $6 and take over the lead at the 38 level? How much, in other words, another way of putting this is, are we in for another 4 weeks of this sort of stuff?
Well, I mean, Dave, we've got the EIA report that comes out tomorrow. Last week, of course, we found building of stocks. Will the cold weather help draw down some of this stuff here now? But, next week we'll have more of a drawdown after using the energy it's going to take to heat the homes for this past week. But all in all, we seem to have rumors of freighters out there, tankers out there just waiting to unload out in international waters, just trying to continue to bring it in. And as they come in, well, then the stocks build. And as the stocks build, the futures in the nearby and the spot market goes on down. And it doesn't look like any great hope of shooting back towards that $50 mark in the next couple of weeks, Dave.
Well, the issue, though, that we have is although the economy is struggling and we appear to have ample supplies of natural gas. So despite this colder weather, we got a lot of supply on hand. And so will it really rally? And today it actually fell back nearly 7%, and that's probably the lowest level it's been in a number of months. I'd have to look back at the charts.
The one thing we have to look at is, unfortunately, factories aren't using as much energy as they were. We're not producing as many new products in factories and manufacturing. We're not manufacturing steel, which took a lot of energy. We're on a standstill there. Our car industry has slowed down a lot. and all of a sudden there's a lot less demand for energy. And we might have been short of energy had everything still been running on the same level it was running, Dave, but we're not.
I just checked the charts. It's a 17-month low for that particular commodity, the natural gas commodity.
Another one of the things that tells us we haven't bottomed this economy yet is the energy levels going to 17-month lows. You know, we need to stabilize the energy market because that is an indicator that tells us the economy is getting better.
So then what becomes the play or the way the market will move out forward from here for grain producers that still have commodities to price?
Well, there's a couple things, Dave. You know, we do have some big problems brewing in South America as far as the bean production's going there. You know, Argentina has picked up a larger percentage down there, and so a percentage cutback of them is going to be a larger number of metric tons, as they refer to down there, rather than bushels. And, you know, so we are looking at some potential cutbacks in world bean numbers that way along the way. You know, how and what's going to continue on here in the U.S. and what prices are going to be and what acres will be planted. If this corn number drops on back, we might see more acres of beans. But if we can stabilize, move the corn number up, when we can keep our balance of acres up that way, the bean market can still have the effect of balancing, moving some of this corn up. Farmers are very tight holders at this point in time, and, you know, when comes time in, why, we still might have to bid up to get some done. Prudential Base, I think, made the comment today that they thought that commodities would outperform the other assets in the country and that we could see $4.50 to $5 corn again. So are they right or wrong? You know, today it doesn't look like they're right in the corn, but down the road a week or two, they could be.
Do you think that it's wise at this point for producers to hold out for $4 cash?
Well, I think right now with the dip that we've seen over the last couple of days, it's time to wait and see how things stabilize and how things shake out and if the bean market can give us a little hope.
All right, Wayne, you have a grand day. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and he joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the final country of origin labeling rule is a compromise that will ensure labeling for meat products. But some of the biggest advocates of the legislation are criticizing the final rule. Details of the final rule were released on Monday. Tom Bias, president of the National Farmers Union, expressed his disappointment, saying the final rule still contains a loophole that would allow meat packers to use multiple countries on a label, such as, quote, may contain products of the U.S., Canada, or Mexico, which Bias called a NAFTA label. And Bill Bullard, CEO of the Ranchers Cattlemen Action Legal Fund, United Stock Growers of America, says that the loophole allows packers to commingle one foreign animal in each day's slaughter and processing and then use the mixed country of origin labeling rule for the entire day's production, even though hundreds of thousands of animals may have come exclusively from the U.S. The National Pork Producers Council praised USDA for allowing flexibility in the labeling, but also stated the law would increase costs for pork producers because some packing plants will process only U.S. origin pigs and packers are directing Canadian-born pigs to other plants. And Food and Water Watch, a consumer group, says the rule is unacceptable because it has an overly broad definition of processed foods, which are exempt from the labeling requirement. U.S. meat industry officials say a proposed change in meat import packing requirements by Mexico, if implemented later this month as scheduled, could be a major blow to U.S. meat exports. The proposed change in packing specifications made by Mexican officials would eliminate combo bins and require that all meat products be in boxes. According to meat and poultry industry representatives, combo bins account for about 80% of U.S. pork, 70% of poultry, and about 10% of beef exported to Mexico. Market analysts and industry representatives estimate the additional cost of boxing these products versus shipping in combo bins to be from 10 cents to as much as 20 cents per pound. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today says that the stimulus package being crafted by President-elect Barack Obama and Congress could provide a, quote, significant boost to the sinking economy. But he warned that such a recovery will not last unless other steps are being taken to stabilize the shaky financial system. PRC Premier Nguyen Gia Bo says China and the U.S. must boost cooperation to overcome the global economic downturn. Nguyen made his comments to former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, who is visiting Beijing to celebrate 30 years since the two nations established formal ties. Nguyen says, quote, "The current international political and economic situation is complex and changeable, and China-U.S. relations are at a crucial moment." Meanwhile, new data today shows China's trade slump worsened in December as exports fell at their fastest rate in a decade amid the global economic turmoil. December exports fell 2.8% from the same month a year earlier, after a 2.2% decline in November. The slump in global sales has forced thousands of Chinese factories to close. A recent Circuit Court of Appeals ruling suggests if the Environmental Protection Agency follows Clean Water Act rules to the letter of the law, some pesticide applicators may be deemed discharges of pollutants and may be required to have a special permit. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals found the EPA was incorrect in saying all pesticide applications were exempt for rules of discharging pollutants and therefore would not need permits under the agency's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. By vacating the EPA final rule, the court in essence sent EPA regulators back to the drawing board to reconsider Clean Water Act regulations. Petitioners have 45 days to file an appeal with the full Sixth Court. And Sioux Falls, South Dakota-based Poet has started producing cellulosic ethanol with corn cobs at its 9 million-gallon pilot plant in Scotland, South Dakota. Company officials say Poet expects to start producing commercially in 2011. One of the major hurdles with cellulosic ethanol is the need for new enzymes that make it possible to be competitive with corn-based ethanol. Poet officials say they expect their cellulosic ethanol to cost just 50 cents more per gallon to produce than corn-based ethanol. Then in 5 to 7 years, that cellulosic ethanol can be competitive with corn-based ethanol. Poet was one of 6 companies awarded a total of $385 million in grants from the U.S. Department of Energy in February of 2007 to develop the first generation of cellulosic ethanol plants. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Joining us now is Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services to take up the energy markets. They're an affiliate of ADM out of Chicago. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Let's begin with the natural gas, which caught my eye today, certainly. It lost 7% of its value, and it looks like it hit a 17-month low. And the question I have for you is, are those inventories going to begin to trickle down into fertilizer or not?
Now, I have to think as we move through some of the high-priced inventories some people are holding in terms of the fertilizer manufacturers, that they will have to start reflecting these lower prices as time wears on and competition increases. That natural gas is certainly suffering in terms of prices from lack of industrial usage, and fertilizer will likely take up some of that slack, but I think the price will be rather depressed for the time being.
Another issue that that we keep our eye on is corn as it relates to the RBOB and ethanol, and we've been noting that that margin has actually begun to shrink between the two. It was significantly wider earlier. In fact, it was almost 75 cents at one point. It's now down to around 43 cents or thereabouts. However, the issue seems to be that the narrowing is coming from the ethanol side more than the RBOB side.
Yes, I think that is probably the case, more so than the gasoline. The gasoline actually has shown a little bit of strength on a relative basis to the crude oil. The crack in terms of the May gas crack, which represents the margin of producing gasoline relative to crude oil, has widened out rather dramatically here over the past month on the May contract from just under 2 to around just under 6 currently. And that, I think, reflects somewhat a little bit lower refinery inputs coming through and somewhat better demand than people expect.
We saw information from the U.S. Energy Information Administration today. It again reduced its 2009 world oil demand forecast, dropping it by 810,000 barrels a day. Compared with last year, that's another 200,000 lower than its estimate from December. Is OPEC going to come in February?
Well, I think that is certainly a possibility. I think OPEC wants to try to catch up to what they've done already. It takes time for OPEC production cuts to really work their way through the system. There is a lack of demand for some of the sour crudes coming out of Saudi Arabia that have been noted, and they are adjusting their production capacity, which I think is going to help support the market. It's interesting to note, despite the EIA numbers, the market today in crude oil actually is trading higher, and we've seen the February contract actually show some gains here as well after falling pretty sharply here in the early afternoon.
As we take a look at those two contracts that you mentioned, we learned that that the February is at a discount to the March, 38 to 45 or thereabouts. February going to go off the board fairly soon. Is the March going to take over at that discounted level?
I mean, you know, I think from my standpoint, I think the March could certainly kind of be a mixture. We're seeing that on the February contract. We saw the January contract get into the low 30s and is currently around this $38 area. I wouldn't be surprised if the March trades a little bit higher than that and maybe tries to hold this $40 area. Okay. Those back months still are relatively firm. We're seeing DSO 9 trading at $58.50. It's at a $20 premium to the February. So okay, those spreads probably could come in, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a mixture of the D's weakening relative to the Feb here at some point, maybe over the next month or two.
It's National Peach Melba Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Salmon Portland Chase was born. He was Secretary of the Treasury under Abraham Lincoln, and later he served as Chief Justice. One of his lasting legacies was leading the court to determine the changed boundaries of state and federal relationships in the wake of the Civil War and untimely death of Lincoln. In 1833, President Andrew Jackson wrote his vice president a letter expressing his opposition to South Carolina's defiance of federal authority. The crisis began the previous November when South Carolina nullified a federal tariff that favored northern manufacturing over southern agriculture. Jackson feared the nullification might split the Union. In 1927, the U.S. and Mexico battled over oil interests. The land law, which the Mexican legislature designed to break up the large estates, restricted foreign land ownership in Mexico. The law alienated American oil corporations operating in Mexico and increased tensions between the two countries. And in 1957, the first Frisbee was produced. The pie tins of the Frisbee Pie Company of Connecticut have often been cited as the inspiration for the creation of the Frisbee. A WAMO employee supposedly saw drivers for the pie company showing Yale students how to sail their pie tins, which ultimately led to the invention. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon from blustery Wyoming, huh, Don?
That is, and blustery weather headed east, and that's going to be the big story, at least in the 48 states, Dave, with this Arctic wave that's going to be coming through the region. Hands down, the strongest Arctic surge of the season for the Midwest.
But I read, I don't know if I believe, but I read from some meteorologists that they don't anticipate the cold will damage winter wheat very much.
No. In fact, the bitter cold is going to miss those areas. While it will certainly be getting colder in central and western Nebraska, central and western Kansas, Colorado, down in Oklahoma, and Texas, those areas will be spared the worst of it. So good news for them, because not only is there no snow cover, it's been downright dry in those areas. There's been one part of the country that's been skipped over by precipitation since early December, and that's been in the winter wheat country.
What about precip with this latest system coming through?
Well, there's not going to be very much in terms of once you melt the snow down. So they're not going to get very much. Now, the snows will get a little deeper and a little bit heavier in the Great Lakes, many areas of the Corn Belt. But when it's this cold, the water content of the snow is very, very low. So it's going to be more of the fluffy snow variety, not adding up to too much. There might be some hope last couple of days of January into early February that maybe those winter wheat areas will get moisture. But the way the pattern is set up for the winter, those wheat areas may not get any help until later this winter towards latter half of February into early March.
Seems to me, as we turn our attention to South America, that Argentina would just love to have some of that drier snow.
Yeah, that is certainly true, as South American weather has gotten a lot more active here lately. We still are looking at the drier conditions persisting in Argentina, while the better moisture has been over in the Brazil area. And the way the forecast is trending, that's how it's looking. Soil moisture profiles over most of Argentina are still drier than normal soil conditions, while much better soil conditions in Brazil.
But a system moving through this weekend coming up?
Yeah, there is. I think it's going to still favor Brazil more than it will Argentina, but there's going to be some shower activity.
What about temperatures? With the rain reduced, that becomes more critical.
Well, the temperatures are expected to actually be below normal in many areas. Over the 10-day period, Brazil is going to be averaging anywhere from 3 to 5 degrees below normal. Central Argentina, a little below normal with temperature-wise as well.
Before we let you go, let's turn our attention back to the Midwest. And let me ask you, since harvest, how well of a job has Mother Nature done for the spring?
Well, we need to do some more. Now, as we get on into the second half of January, into February, and into March, we tend to see storms going to get a little more wet. It's actually typical in the middle of December to the middle of January to not have really wet winter storms moving on through. Soil moisture conditions across many areas of the Midwest, Corn Belt areas right now, are looking at soil moisture that is still averaging above normal. You have to get into central areas of Nebraska and Kansas and the Dakotas before you see the soil moisture drier than normal.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.